Couple more speakers to go before we reach that discussion period. We've gone through now sort of microfinance and microcredit in developing countries. We've looked at what banks and financial services can do to help those in need in the developed world. And now it is time to look at microfinance as a growth strategy for formal banking. We'll begin with Geronimo Ramos. He's the executive superintendent of Real Microcredito in Brazil. So, Geronimo, come on up.
My name is Fabio. I'm also the director of Real Microcredit. I'm going to translate some words of Geronimo and then I carry on the presentation.
Bom dia para todos.
Good morning to everyone.
A nossa empresa é muito jovem. Temos 7 anos de existência.
Our company is very young. It has 7 years of existence.
E quando nós optamos pelo microcrédito, nós encontramos uma realidade muito mais profunda que a literatura nos mostrava.
When we opted to work with microfinance, we just realized that the reality was a lot different than what we thought before.
Encontramos pequenos empreendedores com grande orgulho do seu negócio e uma imensa vontade de crescer.
We met micro-entrepreneurs very proud of what they have built and with a huge willingness to grow.
Aprendemos muito com este empreendedor e identificamos que talvez ele não precise de uma rede, mas de uma nova rede para pescar muito mais.
We learned a lot with them and we just realized that they are not in the search of a net to fish, but new ways and tools to do this job.
Fine.
Yeah, well, now I'm going to start talking a bit. Just I know it's a bit different than what has been discussed in here. I mean, we're a commercial bank and we're not the enemy of society, but I'll try to. Please forgive me if I'm damn nervous here and my Brazilian accent may put me in bad shoes, so I apologize in advance if it happens. How do I do? Okay. Okay, well, I'm sure most of you, many of you may know this, you're familiar with this slide. We just wanted to start using this reference because this captures what we believe, yeah? It is important to mention, yeah? Although we are Santander, we were Banco Real in Brazil. And Banco Real, between 10 and 11 years ago, was bought by ABN AMRO Bank in Brazil. And at that time, the bank was the fourth and fifth largest bank, commercial bank. And we were facing at this moment, you know, Lula was trying to be elected and many political movements were happening in Brazil. And we were like, as a bank, we were a huge bank and most of our clients, they were like mid-class upwards. And then we started to, realize that, you know, there is a road. And, you know, but the country goes and does fine or doing bad, banks always do fine. I mean, we have to somehow change it. Not that the banks should go bad, but, I mean, we need to tangibilize what we are believing. I mean, once the bank can do, can play a significant role in development. And the reason I'm showing this is because when, you know, the bank's employees, I'm sure they live in nice houses, most of them, and they have maids, they have relatives that live in slums. They probably, when they are driving their cars home, they passed near some slums. And so this is a reality. Everything is connected to everything. Probably most of the company's employees that provide services for the bank, they come from slums as well. So exactly 10 years ago, our president, our chairman, Fabio Barbosa, which is still today, he just invited all of the executives, the high executives, as mentioned, but look, we need to come up with initiatives to tangibilize what we are doing indeed, yeah? It's not that we are, you know, we are not just simply nervous because we hear, you know, banks, the enemies, but we want to show in the day-to-day work what we're doing, in fact. So, in this case, among some initiatives, such as assessment of risks for social and environment. So before companies are evaluated by its numbers, they are evaluated if they are harming the environment, how they are dealing with social issues, Such as well the companies that provide services for the bank. I mean, we would go beyond just evaluating what's the cheapest price to hire, like having interviews with their employees, yeah, before hiring them. So among these initiatives, one of our vice presidents at that time, he had read the book of Yunus, and he said, "Well, look, this is everything to do with this," yeah, and that's how I started thinking, okay, how would it be in a bank to do microfinance? First of all, to do microfinance for us, it made a lot of sense because it is about credit. Credit is in our DNA. It is about sustainable development. I mean, that's our belief. That would be a very concrete way to tangibilize what we think. And definitely, this is a new business opportunity, especially when you think of Brazil. I mean, 195 billion million inhabitants. So we are talking here about nearly 70% of the population, low-income holders in any formal sector. So there's a tremendous number. So definitely, they will represent, of course, a great power consumption in the future. But so that's the figures, yeah? By the way, I mean, for a bank, as many may think, especially coming from the universities, yeah, well, it's a bank, it has resources, it has money, it has IT, supportive departments. I mean, it has everything that would be a very rich environment to start a microfinance. But, I mean, believe me, it's not easy to start a microfinance. First, because there are the challenges that setting up microfinance represent. Secondly, because especially in a bank, imagine to convince executives in a financial market to, well, let's do business in a favela. Let's do business in the very poor towns. You know, guys with ties, I'm not criticizing anyone here. But imagine, you know, walking to favelas and knocking doors. Okay, we're here to offer you credit. Believe me or not, but at some time, when we started, we didn't want to use the name of the bank because we were sort of worried if they would kidnap our employees. If they, you know, there are many risks involved, and we were kind of okay. Let's also, there was a concern. It's very interesting. Our president said, "Well, look, we are worried if when we say that we have microfinance, should our more than 1,000 branches have huge queues on the next morning?" So that would be a risk as well. But that wasn't what happened. And that was the first reality that we faced. Let's say poor people or low-income holders, they're very skeptical about banks. Yeah, many, when we started with the first team in one favela, the largest favela in São Paulo, Heliópolis, we started, you know, how to enter in a favela. You know, there are some issues as well, yeah? What kind of employees we must hire. Yeah, I mean, we tried social students. It was terrible, yeah? But then we tried the salesman. It was even worse, yeah? And then we just realized, okay, there is a line of knowledge, and I think now we are kind of learning what's the best employees to work with it. But there was this curve of knowledge that we knew that we had to face. And some clients, when we first started in the favela, they started to call the bank, just to check, well, is this guy, does he work for you? Just to check, yeah, because it's funny, a bank entering here. Yeah, sorry. So this is just to show how we started. And I'd like to mention, I've seen the watch here, so the impression. So, I'd like to mention that we almost broke twice. When I joined the team, I was used to work in the retail before. And when I came, the mission was, okay, you have to bring the vibe of the commercial thing, because this is not a charitable thing. It's not charity. And in the bank, obviously people tend to think, you know, this is a bank in a favela. This is a social thing. No worries about it. Yeah, and this isn't. Yeah, for us, since the beginning, this is a business. Yeah, and as a business, of course, there was this pressure of reaching the break-even, you know, this things that usually business have. So when I joined, I came with this, you know, let's flexibilize, you know, let's bring credit, you know, let's provide credit in a more flexible way. And of course, our delinquency rate went up to almost 50%. And But thanks God, I mean, in the committee, in the board meeting, they gave me like a second chance to, okay, let's have it as a price of the knowledge, yeah? And definitely, this is huge. I mean, this is really, really different than doing banking, yeah? The way, at least, we used to do. And, yeah, we were given the second chance to go. And then I think with this falls, we learned that there are many things, very small details, that we do not have to start with something very complex, yeah? But with very small initiatives, very small things, we can change a lot the business. There is this expression that I'd like to mention that we use in Brazil a lot, our president loves to use it, which is, we're going to be successful doing the right thing the right way. There's no shortcut for this, yeah? I reckon that sometimes we try to adopt some shortcuts and then the results are there. But we managed, at some point we managed to go to places where the relationship is important. I mean, microfinance, as you know, doing business is about relationship. It's about getting to know the client. It's about being there. That's the main difference about banking. I mean, the traditional banking. It's not a matter of having ATMs or, you know, mobile phones. It's about having someone there representing the institution and looking to the eyes of our client, getting to know what they have, what their house is about. Yeah, and that's, for this reason, we adopted the idea of going to the northeast of Brazil. I don't know if some of you know, but the northeast of Brazil and the north of Brazil are the poorest regions, and the south is, you know, São Paulo and Rio are the best carnival, you know, some of you may know, right? And when we went to the northeast, we entered in very small towns. And it's funny because, you know, in very small towns, you just ask one person. I'm sure this isn't just Brazilians. I'm sure this is universal. When you ask this person, oh, you know Geronimo, you know, this guy can tell about everyone in the city, yeah? This is incredible, and this is very important for microfinance, yeah? Once you need information. So we just realized, well, this is rich, and that's what we need to adopt in our business. That's when we realized that actually it's not about having social people work with the microfinance or salesmen, but of course, there are targets. There is a break-even to pass, and it was done a lot more than a year ago, so it's a sustainable company. But it's more about having employees that enjoy people, yeah, and they are very committed to what they are doing. Yeah, so we went to the northeast, and that's when we really, really grew. I mean, in 2 years, we grew massively. Yeah. Just to give an idea, I'm sure many of you may be familiar with microfinance, but that's the kind of clients we're talking about here, and you know, BT product sellers. Many of them, it would be that's some places we work at. We have to take boats. I mean, they're more than 200 kilometers from any bank branch. So those are really places there are no banks at all. That's the kind of types of credits that we work with. Solidarity Group is very similar to the Grameen, of course, with this, let's say, Brazilian touch. Yeah, once we have to bring the cultural aspect to it. Yeah, and obviously, what we do is basically to focus credit on working capital, home and business reforms, once this is linked to the business, and fixed asset investments. We didn't link... or condition the clients to have bank accounts, because again, the reason the bank has a great IT and, you know, the resources I've mentioned, that doesn't mean to manage these things within the bank is easy. Believe us, to knock the door of IT guys and say, well, look, we need some adjustments, we would be competing with the corporate finance, retail, private banking. I mean, we are not profiting as much as to compete with these guys. So obviously, in the beginning, we had to have some sort of protection, and that's necessary to set up a successful financial microfinance. Sorry. Yeah. Just to give some pictures of the places. And that's also just to tangibilize what's the main difference. I'm sure many of you are familiar with microfinance and what's the main difference. But that's the basic difference between traditional banking and microfinance? Well, I would say the three main reasons. Yeah, they're placed in places that no one were in time would like to go, favelas, you know, periphery. Secondly, they do not have any guarantees, collaterals to offer. And thirdly, they do not have any proof, any formal paper showing that they exist as business and what's the size of the financial flow. And, I mean, using pretty much the methodology of Grameen, we could handle these three issues. It's important to mention, I have 20 seconds, but it's important to mention that in the bank, yeah, in the very beginning, a multidisciplinary group was composed, yeah, composed by different professionals from the retail, credit, risks, in order to understand how would it be for a bank to start doing microfinance. Obviously, after some months of talks, we just realized, you know what, let's now, you know, now we have to learn doing, so let's start doing. That's when, actually, as I said, we almost spoke twice, but that was the price of knowledge. And today we're pretty much, I know we are in the right direction. And that's good, because even after this couple of days, I mean, that showed us that we are right in the right direction. Yeah, my time is over. Let me just... well, that's just to give you an idea how we are spread in the country. Well, Brazil is a continental place, yeah? That's another aspect that I'd like to mention. And a couple of days ago, we say, well, is the methodology applied everywhere? Of course, we believe to this agreement, yeah, that the poor is the poor everywhere. I mean, Yunus mentions this a lot. But I'm sure that being a poor in a place where you can have health, even being poor, is different in a place that if you need doctor, you won't have it, yeah? So there are some particular reasons. There are some changes, of course, cultural aspects that are to be addressed. In Brazil, we can notice that, yeah? When you go, one thing is working with microfinance in São Paulo, yeah? In Rio, another thing is to work with microfinance in the really, really small town in the northeast, where you can see any, sometimes, institution of the government there. So, yes, cultural aspects are to be addressed. We believe strongly that we can make a difference when we have our loan officer entering the houses of our clients, although some figures may not show this yet. And I myself believe that these figures may not show this because still the microfinance is a baby in the world. I mean, there is a huge need of microfinance. In Brazil, I can say, I mean, less than 2% of the potential market is addressed. And so when we start having, but our loan officer, for each house that he enters, for each entrepreneur that he provides credit, I'm sure that he's playing a difference for this one. We can see this, yeah? This is just to show you some figures. On the contrary of some organizations, we do not condition just women, because the reality is we have entrepreneurs and poor, male and female. We try to do just female in the very beginning, but as a commercial strategy, we just realize, okay, let's try not only female. But so these figures are more female. This is more what the market provides. So we do not adopt any condition to it. Sorry. And this is finally some achievements we'd like to share with you. We know, you know, when you talk of a bank that in Brazil, just to give you some pictures, we are today the second or the third, depends what indicators you use, largest bank in Brazil, and the fourth largest bank worldwide, now that Santander just bought us. And we are the second largest microfinance in the country. There is the first one, which is really huge, which is Banco do Nordeste. It's a public bank. And they're doing great. Yeah, we've been learning a lot with them. We do not see them as a competitor, but as a player that we can learn a lot with, such as other some of you that are here in this room. We are the first international. Well, the importance here is that we are sustainable. So it is proved for the bank that this operation is not about being taking, bringing credit to slums, that this is a business, yeah? And this can be understood as a business and inserted into the bank as a business, yeah? We have today nearly 300, actually, employees, and probably, while I'm talking here, we'll be reaching probably about 100,000 active clients, yeah? We already disbursed more than $325 million and more than 280,000 entrepreneurs. Some of them, they remain with us 4 or 5 cycles. And then what seems to be reasonable to, okay, now let's have a bank account, let's start working with the retail, isn't actually true. Because when they go to the retail, they might be big enough not to keep with us as a microfinance, but they're still small, very small, to be well and very satisfied in terms of assistance for the retail. So we are sure that there is a gap between microfinance and the retail yet, and that's what we're working on for the next years. And these are some finally key points, learning key points that some of them I just said. Credit officers are the key to success of it. Doesn't matter if the bank or any other MFI wants to adopt IT procedures or tools, I'm sure they are necessary. But there is a need of someone there knocking the door, looking into the eyes, and there is a need of a person. Yeah, and the poorest the clients are, this need is even higher. Bank's infrastructure is important to select to do microfinance, but definitely this is not as easy as it seems to be. Yeah. Personal and business financials are completely related. Experiences. We before starting up the microfinance operation at the bank, we went on a road to visit many other MFIs in South America, in Brazil, and in Africa. And there are many learning things that we can join. But as I said, I mean, cultural aspects of the region, not only from the country, are to be attained. Have adequate products to target the clients is relevant. Sometimes we come with this idea of simply adjusting the services, existing services and products to bring to our clients. But we realize that it's not only a matter of adjusting. It's just like it's much more understanding what they need. And perhaps in the banks we may not find some of these products. We may bring from outside. Well, that's pretty much what I wanted to share with you. I'm sorry I crossed nearly a minute. Thank you.
I think Fabio pointed out a really interesting difference between banking in Brazil and banking in Canada. In Canada, when we go to the bank for a loan, we're the ones who feel kidnapped, I would say.